Okay, hi everyone. I think I'm on deck, Cliff. And as Teddy said, you have to behave now. I don't know where Teddy gets that, but what the heck? What the heck? Hi everyone. Happy Sunday evening, and it's very good to see all of you all. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. And of course, that's the time that I'm just going over the messages that were given to me by Holy Spirit to be helpful to me. We started at the beginning of ReginaDonAkers.com once upon a time. We've been doing this for a few years, but we started at the very beginning, and we've been going through all of the messages in chronological order. Right now, we are in November 2006. And we're actually going to look at a message we started looking at last week, but we ran out of time because the discussion was so rich and we didn't have time to finish. So today we're going to start in the middle of that message. I'm giving you a link. When you get to this link, what you'll need to do is scroll down on the page a bit, but you're going to be scrolling down to a message dated Friday. Sorry, I've noticed I'm not as good at speaking as I used to be. You're going to scroll down to a message dated Friday, November 24th, 2006. It's called Is Attack Possible? So we'll scroll down and look at that. Is Attack Possible? Friday, November 24th. And what I would like to do before we start looking at that message is I would like to go to Holy Spirit in prayer. So if you all would join me, I'd appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for your guidance. And I also just want to take a moment to remember that following your guidance is my highest desire in this world. I just want to take a moment to be with that realization as a reminder to myself of what I truly want. Because I know that when what I truly want is in the forefront of my mind, I naturally follow that desire. And I also know that when I let what I truly want slip into the background of my mind, I forget to check for guidance, and I naturally slip back into listening to the ego again. So right now, Holy Spirit, I just want to take a moment to recall in my heart and in my mind what it is that I truly want, my highest desire within the world is to listen only to one voice, to that which we call your voice. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with me as I take a moment to remember this desire. Amen. All right. So we are looking at the message, Is Attack Possible?, which we started last week. Of course, I don't know for sure if everyone that's in the room today was in the room last week. So it seems like a good idea to just start at the beginning and just read through the message from the beginning. And then when we get to the part that we have not yet discussed, we'll start to slow down and talk about that. So, I'm going to begin at the beginning then, just kind of as a review. Is attack possible? Friday, November 24th, 2006. Of course, the question was, is attack possible? And the answer is no. Attack is not possible because all thought is shared. Each one receives as he has asked to receive through his thought. Therefore, no one is ever attacked, and only his request is answered. Within perception, attack is a misperception of your experience. It is a misperception of what you believe you are doing, and a misperception of that which you experience as being done. It is always misperception and never fact. I ask you to let go of attack thoughts, not because they are attack, but because they block true perception from your sight. As you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. Love is not attack. Love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. This giving is never given consciously, as consciousness is the domain of the ego. This giving is natural and outside of the domain of the ego, so that it is without any conscious involvement at all. Love cannot stop. But love can be misperceived if you believe in attack. In order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. Remember this. When you believe you are attacking or have attacked, you are completely wrong. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. When you believe you are attacked, you are 100% wrong. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. When you believe you see one attacking another, you are believing an attack yourself. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. So the paragraphs that I have just read are the paragraphs that we talked about last Sunday. And if anyone wasn't here and they would like more clarity on what I've just read, all you need to do is go to reginadonacres.com, go to the audio page that is called Holy Spirit Guides, and then play last Sunday night's teaching. I think that probably would have been February 28th, 2010. So what we're going to do now is we're going to start with the next paragraph, and we're going to continue. So, you ready? Here we go. Miracles are never under conscious control, because giving is never under conscious control. Spirit is not consciousness as the ego is. The ego, or the part of the mind that thinks it is separate, interprets all that is experienced by making up stories about that which is experienced. However, all of that is made up, and so it is the veil that hides true perception from your awareness. N.T.I. Luke talks about this too. N.T.I. Luke talks about the ego, since it is not knowledge, interprets. It interprets what it sees. And, you know, that's what we all do if we're listening to the ego. We put a story to that which we experience. I notice that my mind, my ego mind, wants to do that even when I receive guidance. You know, if, like when I received the guidance to go to Pueblo, for example, the ego mind wanted to start to interpret that guidance by adding a story to why we were going to Pueblo, what we were going to do when we got there. And not only my ego, but a lot of your egos too. And the reason I know that is because you'd ask me. You would say, what are you going to do when you get there? Why are you going there? Or you would start having ideas. Some of you would start having ideas about what we should do when we get here. And this is what Holy Spirit wants us to see, is that the ego is the part of the mind that interprets and that has a story. It's not just merely the observer or the experiencer. Just a few minutes ago, about an hour ago actually, I watched a video. Oh, you want to hear something funny? I watched a video of Ramana Maharshi. And what I found out is that for the last year, I've been pronouncing his name wrong. And it's funny because we finished that series last night, which I called The Inner Ramana. We finished that series last night, so it's absolutely complete. And all the way through it, I'm mispronouncing his name. If for those of you who don't know, it's not Ramana, which sounded like Ra-ma-na. It's Ram-ana, Ramana. Do it all over again, Cliff says. That would be a lot of fun. Maybe we should spend the next year doing the messages again. Yeah, it's Ramana. But as I've told you before, I didn't study him, and I guess the fact that I mispronounced his name for a year proves that. I didn't study him. I met him within, and when I met him within, you know, he didn't tell me his name. I just knew who he was. So I just found out that his name was Ramana, but that's cool. But anyway, so I was just... Now I'll probably call him half the time Ramana, now that I know the correct pronunciation. And half the time I may call him Ramana, because it's a habit. So, you know, just like sometimes I call Cliff Cliff, and sometimes I call him Nick, because I called him Nick for years first. So, so whatever I call him, I think it's fine. But anyway, I was just a bit ago watching this video of Ramana. And... the person who was narrating the video commented on how he always, I wish I could remember the guy's exact words, but I don't, but he commented on how Ramana always was just observing what was going on around him, how he never seemed truly involved or attached the way other people are. And this is really what Holy Spirit is talking about here as well, that the ego that interprets what's going on around us, that's the part that makes us really involved in what is going on. We each have a story. And as we all know, we could be in the exact same situation, and we can each have different stories about it. In fact, maybe I'll confess, because Doug Thompson is in the room, I see his name, maybe this is why this particular example is coming, but I'm sure that I know I could pick millions of examples, but the example that's coming to my mind right now is the example of A Course in Miracles. We know that there are a myriad of opinions about, for example, which version of A Course in Miracles might be the best version. Instead of just observing that there are different versions, that is what has unfolded. Instead of, in a detached way, just observing that and using whatever version our hand may reach out and grab in this moment without any story about it, most of us have stories about, you know, which version is the best. Some of us have stories about, you know, I'm going to say bad guys who did things they should not have done with the Course. This is an example of the ego, and the ego is very, very active in our mind with stories. And since I picked on Doug, I'm gonna read his comment since I picked on him. And he says, there are also a myriad of claims about which is the original, and not all of them are equally true. So there we go. I thought it fair to read his comment since I picked on him. But that's really only one example, to be honest. It's just one that probably all of us are familiar with, and maybe we even all share in. Maybe all of us have our own opinions, right? And so we can look at this and we can know that there is an ego in our mind making up a story. And we may vary in how attached we are to that story or not. Some of us may take, in fact, I see Doug Thompson in the room twice. He's really here tonight. But that's an example. We have stories rather than truly, if we're the pure observer, if we're the pure observer without a story, we will notice that there is this version, and there is this version, and there is this version, and there is this version. And we may notice that there are differences between the versions. I see this sentence in this version, and in this version it says this. I mean, we will still notice all of that, but the story is absent. So, the part of our mind that makes up these stories, the part of our mind that interprets and has opinions, that's the ego. And it's very active. I think we all know that. It's very active. My story-making ego is still active, and I'm sure your story-making ego is still active too. So, what Holy Spirit is telling us, however, is that the miracles that we perform, the true gifts that we give each other as miracle givers, are coming from another part of our mind. The miracles that we perform are not coming from that conscious story-making mind. And in fact, I have an example. If you'll take a pretty loose example of the word miracle, but it's an example of how we give love without conscious knowledge. This just happened recently, but when I used to work for a living, what I did was I gave $208 a month to a 529 account for my daughter. A 529 account is a savings account for college, and it's got some tax benefits there. But when I was guided to leave my job and I no longer had an income, I stopped doing that. Now, I've always considered the money Jasmine's money, so I've never touched it, but I have not contributed in the last 5 years into that account. Nor have I ever given it a single thought. I mean, there's just been no fear thought in me at all, no thought in me at all about, you know, how is college going to be paid for. It just has not been there. 2 days ago, seemingly out of the blue, the thought came into my mind, or it felt like a prompt. The prompt came into my mind to begin contributing to that account again. And in fact, like often happens to me, when I feel a prompt, is that the thought persisted until I agreed to do it. It just kept coming into the mind to start contributing to that account again. And so, you know, there was an inner agreement that I would do that. And I really still didn't think much of it. Then on Friday, after we finished teaching the original edition, my boyfriend called, and I told him that I, you know, had decided to start contributing to the account again. And he was so happy. What I did not know is that my boyfriend had been really worrying. He didn't say a thing because he's a very sweet man, and he never seems to try to impose his will on me. But he had been really worrying about the fact that I wasn't contributing to that account. And when he told me that he had been literally secretly worrying about that, and now I saw how his mind was put at ease, I realized that my prompt to start contributing to that account again, at the very least, was a gift to him. It was a gift to my brother, who is in the form of my boyfriend, but a gift to my brother, who is not a part of the spiritual path, who is unbelievably patient and supportive with all of the changes in my life, with all of the people in my house, with everything that's going on. And yet he was suffering silently over this one thing. And without me even being aware of it, a prompt came into my mind to just do something. Just start doing this again. And, you know, that was completely outside of conscious control, that little symbol of love. And it may have other purposes as well. You know, I don't know what Jasmine will go to school for or what she will do with that. So it might have other purposes as well. But at the very least, I saw it as a magnificent gift that Holy Spirit was giving him just to ease his mind on something that he was worrying about. But what's interesting is, again, that was completely out of my conscious control. There was nothing in me that knew that he was worrying about this that could have wanted to relieve his worrying. And that's only one small example. The truth is, we all give gifts like that all of the time. We say just the right thing that somebody needs to hear without knowing that they needed to hear that. We, you know, give something to charity without realizing that there's somebody that's going to get it that needs it, really needs that thing. I heard a story once about a man who was boxing up boxes to Africa, and when he leaned over to finish boxing up, his glasses, I think, fell out of his pocket into the box, and then it was taped up and shipped off before he realized his glasses were gone. And I can't remember the exact details of the story, but apparently the person in Africa who opened the box, the loose memory that I have of this story, really needed those glasses. And, you know, we just do stuff like that all of the time without knowing it. And I think it's absolutely amazing to think about. We are walking around all of the time giving magnificent gifts, and we're not even aware that we're giving them. We can just trust that we are. We can just trust that we are. Now, I'm going to pause for a moment and look at the screen. Let's see. I see question for Regina in capital letters. I don't pay much attention to the board, so that is helpful. So if that thought persisted until you did it, do you sometimes miss prompts until seeing that they persist? The answer is yes. When things are, I'm going to say, seemingly minor, like a thought crosses the mind to start contributing to the 529 account. Again, that was not anything that was on my mind. And so to be honest, the thought kind of passed the mind the first time without a lot of attention. But when the thought kept coming and kept coming, it was the repetition of the thought that caught my attention. And I experienced that fairly frequently. In fact, I think I told a story last week about how a few weeks ago a prompt passed my mind to go clean up the inner Ramana. I'm going to say Ramana because it feels better when I at least put inner in front of it. To go clean up the inner Ramana messages. And the first time that thought passed my mind, I just kind of dismissed it. But it kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And what I didn't realize was that Regina Dawn Akers had been hacked, and that those messages were affected by that hacking. And I didn't realize it till when the thought kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and I finally went and did it. That's when I discovered that the hacking had occurred. Also, what I did not know at the time was that a couple of weeks later, I would be recording that audiobook. So because the thought did not have personal meaning for me, I'm going to say it that way, both cleaning up the inner Ramana messages and starting to contribute again to Jasmine's account did not have personal meaning to me because these were not things I was thinking about, worrying about in any way. When the thought first came, it just didn't catch my attention. But as they persist, it's the persistence in them. Now, I noticed that Monica has her hand up, so I'm going to let go of the mic and turn it over to Monica.
Thanks, Regina. It was just a little more than I could type. So, you know, this topic, you know, of is it possible to be attacked? I got to tell you, I've been walking around for feels like a long time, some months, with having felt attacked. And it had to do with being in this room. And at the time, I guess I was still, quote, teaching, which I've stepped down from doing that. But anyway, I was sharing some really vulnerable stuff, and a person in this room, like while I was sharing, wrote, doesn't anybody have some Rolling Stones we could play? And I felt so hurt. And I continue to walk around thinking that this person is just so obnoxious and so rude. And I have had to practice restraint because that person has been on the microphone. And I've been so tempted to type in, like, right when they're talking, to say, like, gee, doesn't somebody have some Rolling Stones, like, to give them a taste of their own medicine? I've given up so many grievances against people in all my ancient history and people that have been far more significant in my life than this person who I've never even met. I got to tell you, they single-handedly convinced me to no longer take the mic here as a teacher. I'm just wondering, so is attack possible? God, did I feel attacked, and I'd like to reframe it. And no matter how much of the course I'm reading, I'm still thinking, but you know what? They're freaking rude and obnoxious. So anyway, thanks a lot for letting me take the mic. Thanks.
Okay, Monica. Yeah, since you put that out there, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to talk about it. First of all, I saw Teddy type something that he said, Regina is not saying it is not possible to feel attacked. It's just not possible to actually be attacked. And he's correct. We can absolutely feel attacked, but we cannot be attacked. At the simplest building block of what happened for you, Monica, at the simplest building block of what happened, you've heard about this thing called the tiny mat idea, that we, together as one, asked for. The tiny mat idea, as it is described in NTI, is that, we had the experience of our oneness, of course. We had the experience of what we are, but what we asked for was an experience of something different. And this is something we asked for together, jointly, as one. Well, if someone does happen to say something that seems to be rude or obnoxious, they are literally giving us what we asked for. They are giving us an experience of something different than our truth. This is what this particular message is teaching. When it says there's no such thing as attack, it's teaching us that every single experience is given to us because we have asked for it. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean if I receive, the experience of cancer, for example, that all this lifetime I was praying for the experience of cancer. But the belief that I am a body, the belief that I can die, all of that is the experience of something that is different than our truth. And that we have asked for. And not only that, but we continue to ask for it. In fact, Monica, in the example that you shared with us, which is really a great example because we've all done it. We've all had grievances, probably against things that people have said to us right here in this room. And we've all had at least some trouble letting those grievances go. And so we've had thoughts about that person and maybe wanted to give them a taste of their own medicine. This is all something we probably can remember if we want to. We can all remember having that experience here in our own little room. So when the ego comes up in the mind and the ego then is thinking about the grievance, the ego is thinking about what this person said, the ego is angry about what this person said, the ego is feeling rejected, the ego then wishes that person could experience it so they would know what it feels like. What's actually going on underneath all of that is that the mind is continuing to say, give me an experience that's different from my truth. We're literally continuing the same prayer, if you will. And so what happens again is our brothers show up and they answer our prayers, literally. Literally, they give us an experience of something that is different than our truth. And that's what this particular message is teaching. Again, it says, love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. This message is literally teaching that the experience of our separation is delivered to us through our oneness. because our thoughts are shared. And as we continue to ask for that experience through thinking with the ego, the experience continues to be delivered. So in that way, it truly is not attack. It's not attack, but yes, it can feel like attack. Now, on another level, Monica, now I'm speaking to you, you know, just as your friend who really trusts that we share the same heart. And I understand that you said that this person single-handedly is responsible for you not picking up the mic again. I'm going to say that's not true. The reason that you have not picked up the mic again is because of a fear within yourself that was triggered by what this person said. And what's happening is that continuing to believe that fear, maybe that you were not a good teacher, for example, or that you were unworthy to be a teacher. It's that deeper belief that's really keeping you from taking the mic again. I know that in this room, I've experienced some very strong criticism. I don't actually remember it lately. Maybe I just don't notice it anymore. But there was a time, you know, a couple years ago, especially during that time when I was with Laurent, there was very, very strong criticism in the room. You know, while I was speaking, you know, people would come into the room and make fun of me, saying I thought I was Jesus. I thought I, you know, I don't remember the exact words, but, you know, the idea that I was more holy than everyone else and that you all should listen to me, that type of stuff. And if I had identified with that in any way, there would have been a reaction out of me. Maybe I would have responded to, yeah, Regina cries, there we go, but not in the holy way, but in the judgment way. Maybe I would have responded to that person. Maybe I would have argued with that person. Maybe I would have tried to defend myself. Maybe I would have just quit. Maybe I would have just quit. But any of those reactions would have been my internal agreement. You see, it wouldn't really have been because of that person. It would have been my internal agreement. So what I encourage you to do, just as your friend, Monica, because I have listened to you teach a few times and I personally enjoyed it. In fact, I saw it as really beneficial, also for you. And so I would just encourage you to look within and to look at what your obstacle is in this case, to work with Holy Spirit to allow the obstacle to be removed. And then after the obstacle is removed, when this feeling of being put down is gone, then check within and see if you should return to teaching. And you'll get a clear prompt whether the answer is yes or no, I can't say for you. But don't let ego tell you whether you should teach or not. Let go of ego in this particular circumstance and then let Holy Spirit guide. Okay, I'm going to go back to the message. I'm going to go back to the message now. And I'm going to reread the paragraph that we were reading when we started talking about all of this. But again, the main point that we were looking at is that miracles are never under conscious control, which means we are always giving. We are always giving. We are always giving. And we could be totally unaware of our giving. And we're not giving because the mind decided to give. We're not even aware of what we're giving or why we're giving. So miracles are never under conscious control because giving is never under conscious control. Spirit is not conscious as the ego is. The ego, or the part of the mind that thinks it is separate, interprets all that is experienced by making up stories about that which is experienced. The ego, or the part of the mind that thinks it is separate, interprets all that is experienced by making up stories about that which is experienced. However, all of that is made up. And so it is the veil that hides true perception from your awareness. So again, the ego, the story maker-upper in our mind, is hiding true awareness from us. So as long as we're believing those stories, we are really blinded to true perception. Holy Spirit continues, when you do something, All right? When you do something, you may think, I am doing this because of this or that. Know that whatever you think after you think because of is not true. I'm going to read that again. When you do something, okay? When you do something, you may think, I am doing this because of this or that. Know that whatever you think after you think because of is not true. In other words, he is highlighting the story maker in our mind or the ego in our mind. Like I said, if I tell you that I moved to Pueblo, well, if I tell you I moved to Pueblo because I had a dream that told me to, in that case, the because of is just describing the experience. But if I tell you I moved to Pueblo because, you know, we needed to move to an area that had a better energy, and Pueblo has a great energy, and now that we're in this great energy place, all these people are going to move here, that's my interpretation. Okay? I moved to Pueblo because I was guided to. Boom. And then I have to watch the unfolding. Certainly any ideas about there being a special energy here is just an interpretation. It's just an interpretation of purpose, of why. So again, Holy Spirit is saying, when you do something, you may think, I am doing this because of this or that. But know whatever you think after you think because of is not true. Now listen to this. Are you ready? The only reason you do anything, okay? The only reason you do anything is because you are guided to do it by your thoughts, which come from your spirit. And in this case, the word spirit is not capitalized. And that is because it is inclusive of both what we call Holy Spirit and ego. All right? What Holy Spirit is saying here is the only reason that we do anything is because we are guided to do it by our oneness. By our oneness. Some people might say we're guided to do it by the script, or some people might say we're guided to do it by karma. But the real reason we're doing it is much more because the script is written than any other reason. And an interpretation around that is just an ego story that's being made up. So the only reason you do anything is because you are guided to do it by your thoughts, which come to you from your spirit. All that you do because you are guided to do it. You can never do anything independent of guidance. This is why you're innocent. And again, in this case, the word guidance is not just Holy Spirit's guidance. It's also referring to ego's guidance. But it's saying both come from our oneness, either the misguided part of our oneness or the awakened part of our oneness. We could call it either the sleeping Son of God or the awakened Son of God. But none of us can do anything independently. None of us can do anything independently. It's impossible because we aren't independent. And he says, this is also why we are innocent. This is also why we are innocent. So, when you do something, you may think, I am doing this because of this or that. Know that whatever you think after you think because of is not true. The only reason you do anything is because you are guided to do it by your thoughts, which come to you from your spirit. All that you do because you are guided to do it. You can never do anything independent of guidance. This is why you are innocent. Then he continues. He says, yet I teach that you have a choice about what you will do and how you will feel. And this is also true. This is true because you get to request through Spirit the experiences that shall be given you. You make this request through choosing which thoughts to believe or accept. So now what he's really doing in a very beginning way, there are messages that have come after this that are a little deeper in their explanation. But what he's beginning to do now is he's beginning to explain that the current thought that is coming into my mind is actually a reflection of a past thought that I chose to believe. And I think we talked about this last night in the last Inner Ramana message. The current thought that is coming into my mind is a reflection of a past thought that I chose to believe. So, in that way, I have chosen every thought that is coming into my mind. And the example that I used last night was the example of hate. If I choose to hate someone or something, it doesn't even matter. If I choose to believe a hate thought, then I send that hate thought out into our energy, and another hate thought returns to me. So when a hate thought enters my mind, it enters my mind because in the past I chose to believe a hate thought. It's like a, you know, it's like a boomerang, but the term spirit is using here is a reflection. It's a reflection of my past thoughts. So I am not a victim to the script that comes into my mind because I wrote the script that comes into my mind. Not a victim to the script that comes into my mind because I wrote the script that comes into my mind. And this is where choice comes into this script idea. He says again that when you do something, you only do it because you're guided to do it. And in the language of the Course or the language of NTI, we would say that we're guided to do it by the script. He says, yet I teach that you have choice about what you will do and how you will feel. And this is also true. And here's why it's true. Are you ready? This is true because you get to request through spirit the experiences that shall be given you. Again, this is true because you get to request through spirit the experiences that shall be given you. You make this request through choosing which thoughts to believe or accept. So if I choose to believe a hate thought, I am requesting the experience of hate, and another hate thought will come in answer to that request. If I believe that hate thought, I am again requesting the experience of hate, and another hate thought will come to answer that request. And it just continues and continues and continues until I wake up to how this process is occurring. When I begin to wake up to how this process is occurring, I learn what we call discernment. I begin to learn about the ego and the Holy Spirit, and the difference between the two thought systems. And I begin to recognize that I do not want to believe or accept the ego's thoughts as true. And so then, when that next hate thought comes into my mind, but now I'm a little more awakened, the hate thought still comes into my mind. Why? Because in the past, I requested it by believing a hate thought. And we all know we've believed hate thoughts, right, at some time. So when a hate thought comes into our mind, it should not really be a surprise. It's a reflection of our past. But now we can see it as only that. See, it's only that. It's only a reflection of my past. And now is a new moment. Now is a new moment. I do not have to fall for the past again. So when the hate thought comes into my mind this time, and I'm wiser, I can recognize it as a hate thought. I can recognize it as ego. I can realize that if I'm going to believe or accept this thought again, I'm going to be requesting that experience, and I can now be wise enough to know I do not want that experience. Happiness is my will. And I can choose not to believe or accept the thought. I can choose not to believe it. So it is like the last message from Ramana that we read last night. The last message was, you can choose where but not what. If you were here, you might remember that. You can choose where in the mind you are going to be, what frame of mind, we might say, or what state of mind. You can choose if you want to be an ego, if you want to be observer, or if you want to be completely abide in self. You can choose where in mind you want to be when what happens. But you can't choose what, because you already chose that in the past. So when that hate thought comes into my mind, I can choose where I want to be. I can choose to be an ego and absolutely believe that I hate you because a thought came into my mind telling me I hate you. Or I can choose to be in the state of mind that we call Holy Spirit. And when the hate thought comes into my mind that says I hate you, I can realize that's merely a hate thought that is coming because I believed hate thoughts in the past. And I can choose not to listen to it. In both cases, the hate thought came and I had no control over that. That's the script that I already wrote. But what I do have a choice about now is how I will receive that hate thought. What frame of mind or state of mind I will be in when it comes. And as we were told by Inner Ramana last night, we can always choose that. We can always choose the thought system, the state of mind that we will be in. We are never limited in that choice. The script does not limit that. So, again, Holy Spirit says, I teach that you have a choice about what you will do and how you will feel, and this is also true. This is true because you get to request through Spirit the experiences that shall be given you. You make this request through choosing which thoughts to believe or accept. Now, continuing on in the message. If you accept, and by this case he means accept as true. He's not just talking about being in acceptance. He means you accept it as truth, as a fact. If you accept that you are attacking, being attacked, or seeing attack, you will have the experience of attack because you have requested it through your perception. What you ask for is given you, always. If you accept as true that you are attacking someone, if you believe that what you just said was a cruel thing to say, you absolutely accept that you are attacking someone and you are wrong and you are guilty. If you accept that you are being attacked, what that person just said to you was completely rude, completely unfair. Or if you accept that you are seeing attack, you absolutely see that person picking on that person, being unfair to that person. If you have any of those perceptions and you believe them, right? You don't just see them as a reflection of your past, but you believe them to be a fact of what you are experiencing now. If you accept that you are attacking, being attacked, or seeing attacked, you will have the experience of attack because you have requested it through your perception, through what you chose to believe in your mind. What you ask for is given you, always. What you ask for is given you, always. If you see the temptation or the opportunity to perceive attack, okay, so someone says something on the board and there's an opportunity or a temptation in my mind to believe that I am being attacked by what was just said. All right? If you see the temptation or the opportunity to perceive attack, but you choose to let that opportunity to pass you by refusing to accept the perception, and by this means accept it as true, you choose to let the opportunity to pass by refusing to accept the perception, you request the miracle. You hear this? He's telling us how to ask for a miracle. Someone says something on the board. I have an opportunity to see myself as attacked. But instead of choosing to view what is said from ego and accept it as an attack, believe it as an attack, I choose to see it as a reflection of my own past, my own past thoughts, my own past requests. I choose to remember who I am. I choose to know that I can believe this is an attack and I will experience that. Or I can just let it go. And by just letting it go, I request the miracle. By just letting it go. By seeing it as nothing but a reflection of my past. I request the miracle. And the miracle in this case is seen differently. The miracle in this case is seen differently. So if you see the temptation or the opportunity to perceive attack, and you choose to let that opportunity pass you by refusing to accept the perception as a fact, you request the miracle. The miracle, Holy Spirit says, is not really a miracle at all. It is only a truer way of perceiving, which is seeing that there is no attack because there is only love. It feels like a miracle to us because it's different than the way we've perceived before, because of the way we were choosing before within our own mind. But when we finally decide that we really do want to wake up, that we really do want to move away from these perceptions that we have been caught in the loop of because we've believed them over and over and over again. And every time we believe them, we request them again. And they come and we believe them again. And we're caught in this loop. When we finally decide to accept that we are the one that is doing it to ourselves, responsibility for sight. And those thoughts come into the mind. And we choose to see them as only a reflection of our past. And my God, that's only the truth. And again, there isn't one of us here that can say, I've never believed a hate thought in my life. We all have. So if a hate thought comes into our mind, it's very easy to say, yep, I've believed hate before. Yep, I've believed unworthiness before. Yep, I've believed guilt before. Yep, I've believed attack before. No wonder these thoughts come into my mind. Of course I've believed them before, millions of times, more times than I can count. It's not at all surprising that I should receive this thought, right? There's no judgment in that. It's just an admission of what we've done. But we can do differently now. So a thought comes into my mind, a hate thought, or a perception of attack comes into my mind. And I say, yep, I've believed those thoughts before. That's why this reflection of my past is here now. But now I'm ready to step outside of this loop. I'm ready to request the miracle by stepping outside of this loop. I'm just going to let that thought go. And I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to help me see differently. Then when we see differently, Holy Spirit says, that's not really a miracle. It feels like a miracle, but it's not a miracle. What's happening now is more just that the fog is clearing and we're experiencing a truer way of perceiving, which is seeing that there is no attack because truly there is only love. And that's not a miracle. That's what's natural. All right, Cliff, I see your hand up, so I'm turning the mic over to you.
Thanks, Regina. I think the mic should be working. It sounds very similar to your talk on when Laurent, when you perceived to be rejected, and I think the word that the Holy Spirit used was rejectability or something like that. And being rejected is, as far as I know, as far as I feel, that the same thing as feeling attacked. I mean, different words, kind of different emotions, but the core is the same thing. In that particular case, it was an opportunity for purification, that the thoughts in the mind came up for purification. Somehow this is the same, but I'm not finding the words to put it together. But I was prompted three times to bring that up. So I'm going to release the mic. I don't know if that makes any sense, but there you go.
Yeah, Cliff, it does make perfect sense. In fact, I think what is most helpful is actually to see this as the same, because the truth is the process of forgiveness is always the same. And in the beginning, we don't see that because our ego is complicating matters. But as we awaken more and more, we see more and more the actual simplicity of awakening, the actual simplicity of forgiveness. And the simplicity is simply to not believe those thoughts again. You know, it kind of reminds me of that silly Bob Newhart YouTube video that many of us have seen where he says, just stop it, you know, because the lady comes in and says whenever she thinks of being buried in a box, she gets so scared. And he says, well, then stop it. You know, you don't want to run around being scared of being buried in a box, do you? Well, then stop it. Of course, he's a little judgmental in that video, but that's kind of it. That's kind of it. If I don't want to go around being hating anymore, well then stop believing the hate thoughts when they return, because that is the loop. Just stop it. If I do not want to continue to feel rejected anymore, well then stop believing those rejection thoughts when they come into the mind. Just stop it. Admittedly, it takes a bit of practice, because believing those thoughts is a very ancient habit. It's a very ancient habit. But that is the answer, and it is simple, because, I mean, again, we don't have to go get a college degree in understanding metaphysics in order to do that. Metaphysics actually helps us to understand why that may be helpful to stop it, but it's actually the stop it that that heals us, the letting go of believing the ego over and over and over and over again. Okay, Carmen, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina, for giving me some time to share this, because it's huge. What I heard earlier about feeling rejected by others is going right back to what I was talking about in the time frame that I had. And what was really huge for me in getting past that was something that was in the Urtext, where Jesus was talking about cursing, because Bill Thetford felt very cursed by his parents, apparently. A lot of us experience things from our parents that described our limitations to us, and there might have been some shaming, as there was in my upbringing, that made me feel very small. But when I say made me feel very small, what the Urtext says is nobody can curse someone unless it's a belief that they've already cursed themselves with. So all of the things that I was putting on my mother as having done to me were actually her giving an outside voice, a seemingly outside voice, to all of my own inner doubts about my own self-worth. And so now, whenever I am feeling that rejection, I'm understanding that the person who has offered that observation to me is really speaking some inner doubt, as long as there's the slightest twinge inside of me. That person is there specifically to give me the gift of pointing out some subconscious belief that I have about my own smallness. And it's my choice to go to the Holy Spirit and ask to see myself in the one light instead of in the many lights that will be reflected back to me as outer expressions of my own inner doubts about myself. And I got that from that one thing in the Urtext where it says that no one can curse us unless we have already cursed ourselves first. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Carmen. I even copied down some of those words that you said. The person who has offered that observation to me. Maybe when we look at those words, we can see how that is love. And in fact, you know, the Holy Spirit says that the only purpose of the world is awakening. And if we want to awaken, we do need to, you know, as I was saying, stop it. We need to let go of believing these false thoughts over and over again. So it may seem that people hurt us with what they say or what they do, but if we really are in focus in our purpose of awakening, they really are giving us a great gift by pointing out to us where we are still believing the ego. They are offering us a great, great gift. And in fact, when we get to the end of this story, we're going to find out that that's actually what happened to me that day. So let me go back to the message. Let's go back to the message, and eventually we'll get to the end. Okay, we only have a few more paragraphs, so we should be fine. We shouldn't have to go to a part three. So again, Holy Spirit was saying, if you see the temptation or the opportunity to perceive attack, but you choose to let that opportunity pass you by refusing to accept the perception, you request the miracle. The miracle is not really a miracle at all. It is only a truer way of perceiving, which is seeing that there is no attack because there is only love. Now, the last paragraph, actually, we only have one paragraph left. Here we go. Watch your mind for your perceptions. Watch your mind, not your brother's mind. Ego always wants to watch my brother's mind. But Holy Spirit is asking us to watch our own mind. Watch your mind for your perceptions. Okay? So am I perceiving attack? That's my question. Am I perceiving attack? Watch your mind for your perceptions. Ask yourself, oh my goodness, a very excited dog. What was that about? Oh my goodness, hold on guys. I've never seen her so excited. She's excited about something. Okay, here we go. I don't know what that was about. Maybe Danielle just gave her a piece of something to eat upstairs. I don't know. She's very excited. Or she had a really good poop outside. I don't know which, but she's pretty excited. Okay, here we go. Back to the message. Watch your mind for your perceptions. Ask yourself, what do I truly want to experience right now? Did you hear the want in that sentence? What do I truly want to experience right now? As you answer this question, you make a conscious decision about how to see. The answer to your request is delivered through spirit, which is not conscious, but it is always exactly that which you honestly requested. Now, what he's really telling us here is that if we aren't watching our mind, we aren't aware of what we're saying that we want. You know, so, again, I may be thinking about what a jerk somebody is. You know, he shouldn't have done that to me and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not aware of the fact that what I'm continuing to do is pray for the perception of separation. That I'm continuing to ask my brothers to, you know, give me experiences that will continue to teach me that I'm separate. Not even aware of that. But if I start to watch my mind and I start to keep in the front of my mind, like I did in my prayer at the beginning of this time period, if I begin to keep in the front of my mind what I really want, then when a hate thought comes into my mind or an attack thought comes into my mind, if I really have purpose in the forefront of my mind, I'm going to not just believe that thought without thinking about it, I'm actually going to stop and look at it first. And I'm going to remember what I really want. And I'm going to remember what happens if I choose to believe this thought. And I'm going to be able to find within myself the ability to pass on believing that thought. Just pass on it. I'm going to remember to be able to choose the miracle instead. So watch your mind for your perceptions. Ask yourself, what do I truly want to experience right now? As you answer this question, you make a conscious decision about how to see. The answer to your request is delivered through spirit, which is not conscious, but it is always exactly that which you honestly requested. Okay, now I'm going to tell you to the best of my memory. I don't have the world's greatest memory, but I'm going to tell you to the best of my memory what happened the day that I received this message. The first thing that happened was I asked the question because I had been filling the prompt. You know, every time I saw the word attack, on the disappearance of the universe Yahoo group. People were talking about, you know, John attacked Gary. And every time I saw the word attack, something in my mind would say, no, no. And it seems like this happened for 2 or 3 days. And then I finally wised up to the prompt. Remember what we talked about earlier, when a prompt is repeated enough, I catch on. So I finally wised up to the fact that this little no was trying to tell me there's no such thing as attack. And so I asked, is attack possible? And that's how I got this message. And this came early in the morning one day. And it must have been a Wednesday, because I taught awakenings that day. So it must have been on a Wednesday morning. And I received the message. So that was like my first time hearing it. And then I typed up the message. That's like my second time. And I posted it. And then it turns out I did have awakenings that morning. So I felt to teach the message. I taught it that morning. That was my third time, right, going through it in a very short period of time. I heard the message, typed it up and posted the message, and then I taught the message. And then if I remember correctly, after that, I went and took a shower. When I got out of the shower, if I remember correctly, there was a message from Dove. It could be that I got out of the shower just in time to get the call and I talked to him. I don't remember, but somehow Dove called me and I heard what he said, whether it was over a message machine or whether he talked to me, I don't remember. But Dove did something that morning that he doesn't usually do. I mean, he never does it. I know, I'm aware of the fact that he often plays my recordings in the room, just like he plays your recordings in the room when you teach. But he doesn't call me and say, Regina, I'm playing your teaching in the room. I don't know when he's doing it. Well, that morning, even though I just taught it, he called and said, Regina, I'm playing this morning's teaching in the room now. And I think he said, come and listen to it. And I thought that was unusual, and so I took it as a prompt that it would be helpful for me to go through this message one more time. So I went and I listened to my own teaching. So this is now my fourth time in one morning going through this message. Soon after listening to the teaching, I received an email, one that we could definitely call an opportunity to feel attacked. It was from a teacher of A Course in Miracles. And basically what the email was saying was that I was a fake, that I was making up the Holy Spirit, making up these messages, and sharing them because I wanted to be a famous teacher. And this was a person who had never emailed me before. This was my very first email from this person. And I will be honest with you, my very first perception was I felt attacked. My very first perception was I felt attacked. And then, do you know what happened next? The memory of this message came flying into my mind. After all, I had been through this message 4 times that morning, right? I heard it, I typed it up and posted it, I taught it, and then for some ungodly reason, Dove called me and asked me to listen to it, and I listened to it. Suddenly, with this opportunity to perceive attack right in front of me, I remembered all of what I had just learned. I remembered all of it. And as I remembered it, literally, a miracle occurred. For when I first read the message, I knew what this particular teacher looked like. So when this message showed up, you know, kind of the image that was in my mind was his face all scrunched up in a mean and angry and ugly way, right, saying this stuff to me. But then when I chose to remember everything Holy Spirit had taught me in this particular message, it changed. And I saw him standing there, dressed like a waiter, holding a silver tray. Some of you may remember I later had the same vision of Laurent, but this was before that. I saw him standing there, dressed like a waiter, holding a silver tray, and the understanding that came with that, and by the way, with a very peaceful face, and the understanding that came with that was that he had shown up just now to give me the opportunity to accept the atonement for myself. He was handing me an opportunity to not believe as I always believed before. I mean, in order to let go of the perception of attack, someone has to show up and give me the opportunity to let go of the perception of attack, which also means I have the opportunity to choose the perception of attack. But they have to show up and give me the opportunity. It's just an absolute miracle. It really is, because suddenly, instead of seeing this person as really attacking me, I honestly saw love. I mean, honestly. I was so grateful. I was so grateful for the entire morning. I was so grateful for the whole thing. I saw the message came. I saw that I typed it up and posted it. I saw that there was an opportunity right there by, quote, coincidence, which is not coincidence. There was an opportunity right there to teach it immediately. And then I saw that Dove, unknowingly, right? We read earlier that miracles are never under conscious control, because giving is never under conscious control. Without knowing why Dove was calling me, he called me and asked me to listen to my own teaching. And then immediately after that, this email comes, and I am given the opportunity to practice. And I'll tell you what, I used to be a trainer, and I know that a good trainer will not only teach you what you need to learn, but give you an immediate opportunity to practice. And I chose not to, literally I didn't even choose it. It almost just happened, because the memory of this message came flooding into my mind. And as soon as it did, I simply did not see attack. I saw love instead, and I was very, very, very grateful. Okay, Lisa has her hand up, so I'm going to turn the mic over to her.
Hey, thanks, Regina. I just wanted to say a couple words about this. For me, whenever I think I see attack, I have to realize that everything that is happening is for me. And that really what I'm seeing is either somebody is actually saying something, or I'm thinking that they're thinking something. But what's really going on is I'm seeing the projection of my own thought. I'm seeing the projection of my own belief about myself, whatever it is, on some level. And if I really truly don't see that it is my own thought that I am getting, that I feel that I'm suffering because I'm either they're saying it or I'm thinking it, that they're thinking it, it is because I have projected it so much and I have so much denial that I don't recognize it as my own thought. Because truly, I am immune. When whatever it is that I think someone else thinks or someone else says, if it doesn't affect me, I'm immune. And the reason it doesn't affect me is because that thought is not in my mind anymore. And it's been healed. And so I truly believe that I wouldn't know what I really believe, what I'm really thinking, the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. I wouldn't even know it if it were not for those teachers, the ones who show up in my life, either by saying something or doing something or just being there for me to just have that form to project that context onto and be able to see what I'm really thinking. I had an experience once, I'll say this real quick, where somebody sat me down because he wanted to talk to me. He was all upset and all gripped, and then he started to share, and I prayed first and asked the Holy Spirit to guide me, and the Holy Spirit said, just look for what is true only. And so this person started sharing about this thing that I did to him, he thinks, as an attack, as a personal attack on him, and what it meant about him, and what he thinks I thought about him, and the story that he had. And the Holy Spirit, I would go through it, listening to it, literally holding the Holy Spirit, like consciously, as if I was holding the hand, and saying, is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Like, no, 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 no. And there was only one thing out of the entire thing that was actually true. It was something that I did, but I knew that it wasn't done personally to this person, and I knew what it was about. But I was able to just own whatever it was that really was my part in that situation, and truly get that it was coming from love, and it wasn't coming from any maliciousness on my part. And so I was able to be at peace through the whole thing, whereas before, if I hadn't done it that way, I might have taken it on, But the truth of the matter is, only my own thoughts can hurt me. And so I can actually see everything then. Everything is for me. Because when somebody seems to be against me or something, I can see that what's really going on is I am seeing a part of my own mind against itself. And that I have the opportunity now, because this person has helped me enable it to bring it up to the light, to see that I'm actually thinking it, to heal it. So I just love it. So anyway, so thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, if we are willing to remember that we have at least been taught that attack is not real, and if we're willing to trust the Holy Spirit, trust that that teaching must be true, then whenever we perceive attack, if we say, wait a minute, attack is not real, Holy Spirit, give me a different way of looking at this, we ask for the miracle. That's the simple summary of this teaching. If I choose to believe I'm attacked, then I bypass the opportunity for a miracle and I get my experience, which I just chose. So that's the bottom line. And again, Holy Spirit's recommending that we ask, what do I want? Do I want to continue to perceive attack, or do I want to let this perception pass me by and ask for a miracle? All right, you guys, I'm out of here. Danielle and Jasmine are upstairs cooking supper, so I'm going to go upstairs and eat it. I'll see you guys on Wednesday morning for Awakenings. Bye-bye.